You are listening to GLJ Shorts, a podcast by the German Law Journal. Here, our authors present their articles in a nutshell, all of which you can find at germanlawjournal.com.
Welcome to GLJ Shorts. In this episode, Ottava Piha is presenting an article, My Body is My Temple, Comparing Sexual Crimes and Property Crimes in a Human Rights Tradition. The article appeared in Volume 25, Issue 1, in February 2024. In a nutshell, what is your article about?
I've been researching sexual offences, and I was struck by how often and easily common law scholars use comparisons with property crimes when analysing laws and legal practices around sexual offences, and how eye-opening that comparison can be. So, for example, it's expected that fraudulent behaviour in a property context is criminalised, whereas the thought of criminalising fraud in a sexual context often causes unease. And in a civil law tradition, comparing property crimes and sexual crimes is almost alien because the values underlying the two types of crimes are thought to be very different. The human is at stake in sexual crimes, whereas in property crimes, what is thought to be at stake is property. And therefore, it would be wrong to use property as an analogue for the human body, because such a comparison would devalue the human. And some common law scholars also argue in this vein. And in the article, I argue that the comparison is actually based on comparing the different conceptions of human autonomy underlying the two different types of crimes. So we don't need to assume that the body is like property to compare sexual crimes and property crimes, because what they share is the concept of autonomy itself. I also argue that when we think about property rights and property crimes in this context, we shouldn't be thinking about buying and selling, the transaction, but rather about the ways in which we willingly and without an expectation of compensation share our property with people close to us. In sharing, the value of the property is not its monetary value. We value it because it enriches our lives when it enables us to share experiences with others. Feminist scholars have criticized, and rightly so, an atomistic conception of the person and of autonomy in matters of sexual and human interaction. But when it comes to property interactions, the liberal view of a self-serving, value-maximizing, isolated, rational person is still the expected norm, rather than the interdependent, relational human being seeking connection with other people. And I'm trying to change that.
What's at stake and why now?
What's at stake is the sexual autonomy of all those who are raped or experience other sexual violence. And that's millions of people in Europe. Many European countries have recently amended their sexual offences legislation to be consent-based. But generally, the protection of sexual autonomy is expected to revolve around the single central legal concept, like consent, or in Finland, voluntariness. When we look at crimes related to property or other monetary interests, broadly understood, we can see that they are very diverse, not just theft, but crimes like trespass to property, fraud, embezzlement, even bankruptcy crimes could be thought of as property crimes in this context. So is it realistic to expect sexual violence to be covered by a single concept? The understanding of what types of behavior violate our autonomy over property is more extensive and more nuanced in some ways than our understanding of what violates sexual autonomy. And to ensure the best possible protection for sexual autonomy, we need to learn from the legal techniques of criminalizing property crimes. But for that, we need a conception of property crimes that allows us to take human dignity seriously while using this comparison. And that's what I provide in the article.
How did you come to research and write about this topic?
Towards the end of my master's studies, I was employed by Amnesty Finland to research the application of the old Finnish law on rape. And I studied police decisions not to investigate, prosecutors' decisions not to prosecute, and district court judgments to see whether the old law in practice covered cases of non-consent, as the government of Finland had been claiming. But it was pretty easy to show that some decision makers thought that non-consent was not enough to establish a criminal act, to establish rape. They sometimes actually wrote this in their decisions explicitly. So Finland's legislation was not in line with the requirements of international human rights treaties like the Istanbul Convention. So in 2019, the Ministry of Justice started a reform of sexual offences legislation, and I represented Amnesty Finland in that process. But I also started working on a doctorate in law to research more deeply the meaning of sexual autonomy, as well as other questions like how evidence is evaluated in rape cases and how the new Finnish consent-based sexual offences legislation should be interpreted. And this article in the German Law Journal, My Body is My Temple, is one of the articles included in my doctoral thesis.
Thank you, Ottava.
This was GLJ Shorts, a podcast by the German Law Journal. My name is Nora Markart, and I'm an editor of the German Law Journal. Find us at germanlawjournal.com and tell us what you think on Twitter or on Facebook. Thank you for listening.